I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. And let's take a look at an anatomy of faith as we look at it in verses 1 through 13. I don't think you can find any greater example of faith in all the Bible than the man that we're going to study briefly here this evening. His name is Abraham. And you can follow his steps and his trials and his ordeals as God begins to deal with him and mold him and make him into the individual that God could use. Much like Abraham, God can do the same thing in our lives, and he does. And as we look at this man's life and we begin to see how God worked within his life, realize that God is working in your life in a similar type of way. Chapter 21 of the book of Genesis was a high mark for this man. He was asked to send Ishmael away. Ishmael in the Old Testament, listen to me, Christian, represents any habit, any desire, anything in your life that is not pleasing to God. That's your Ishmael. And just as God explicitly gave Abraham the orders to send that boy away, God wants you committed. God wants you dedicated to the power and the will of the cross of Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that's not right, whether it be a familiar sin or whether it be some other kind of habit or attitude, God is simply saying to you, it needs to be sent away. It needs to be repented of. It needs to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what this particular concept tells each of us as we look at this. Abraham was a man that was tested by his faith in chapter 21. But that particular test had nothing even to compare with as God says something to him in chapter 22. This is the greatest test. The actual concept of the final exam is now being unfolded. Here, God simply says, you take your son, you take your daughter, and you put that boy on a sacrificial altar, and you plunge a knife into the very heart of this guy. Can you imagine what that must have done to this man of faith? Here is a man of God, a man that had been coached, a man that was being instructed, a man that had been prepared for this one climactic moment. God had put the fire to the metal, and now he was testing the finished product. And he says to Abraham, go and prepare the altar and sacrifice your only son. You know, there was another father in another time that was going to do the same thing. This is Old Testament, but in the New Testament, you're going to discover our Heavenly Father struggled up Mount Calvary with his own son in a similar situation, just as Abraham here was preparing to struggle up Mount Moriah. Years in the future, God the Father would also be preparing his son for a similar struggle. And there's an awesome sense of parallel between these two binding scriptures. I believe we can learn some things within this concept. And I want to say this, and hear what I'm fixing to say. The greater the honor in your life, by that I mean the greater the trial, the greater the burden, the greater the tribulation, the greater the difficulty, the greater the honor that God bestows upon you. God will never put anything on you that you cannot handle by way of faith and by way of commitment to Him and the belief that God has control of your life and your destiny. And the greater that trial and the greater the tribulation that you're having to experience, the greater the honor that God places. I'm convinced within my spirit tonight that Lot could not have held up under this test. God did not prepare Lot in the same fashion that he was preparing Abraham. Lot was never tested in a similar manner. And I don't believe that Lot could have made the test and passed the way we can see Abraham doing it within the scripture. This was a time of testing, and this is the key point for you and me. Herein lies the proof of what God can do with a man, or what God can do with a woman who yields her entire essence and places that life on a sacrificial altar and says, here am I, Lord, do with me what you will. Allow Christ to be manifested in and through me. Allow his love, allow his power, allow his dignity, allow his might. Allow Christ through the Holy Spirit to be seen within my life. What waits for the man or the woman or the boy or the girl that literally puts their life on the altar of sacrifice? This is the key for you and I tonight. You know, I've seen men struggle up Mount Everest as a young boy when they conquered the peak. But nowhere in the wildest imagination of man can this be compared to this particular test that Abraham is facing. Here lies the sacrifice of his own son. God simply says to him, take your boy, your only boy. Now remember, he had another son, but God asked him to send him away. And he did. He sent Ishmael away. And now his crutch was gone. And now this is the boy that Abraham had been waiting for 100 years. This is the promised seed. This is the chosen of Israel. And now God comes to him and simply says, you take this boy. Take everything you have, everything you've been waiting for, and you place him on that altar of sacrifice. Abraham didn't understand that. He knew that it was out of character for God to ask that kind of a thing. But in his spirit and by way of faith, he began to prepare that sacrificial altar just as God asked him to do. May I ask you, do you think you understand why this may have happened? I think probably for two reasons, and hear what I'm fixing to say. It just might have been that Abraham, after waiting 100 years, could have had more love for his boy than he did for his God. It may have been that Abraham in his heart, and I refer to you to verse 2 of the text that is before you, that Abraham in his flesh could have loved that boy more than he loved the father. I remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10:37. Listen to what he says. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, God is not saying that you're not to love your children. God is not saying that you're not to love your father and your mother. But God is simply saying this. Your child, your husband, your wife can never be a hindrance and can never come between your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is saying that there should be no hindrances with family ties. As a matter of fact, I know and I believe with my heart that when a man is centrally positioned within the home, the family is going to come into a tightly knit unit. And when he loves Christ, he's going to love his family just as much as Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. My belief is simply this. Abraham could have possibly have loved that boy. Now, I've seen this. And if you think about it, many of you have too. I've dedicated my son. I've dedicated my daughter. Oh, no, God's not calling you to the mission field. You can't go to the darkest point of Africa. Son, don't you know what you're getting into? Look, you can't leave. You've got to geographically stay somewhere in this area. Do you see what I'm saying? There has to be a release. There has to be a commitment. May I say this? Your children are not yours anyway. They're gifts given to you by the power of God. Amen. And according to the Old Testament, you're to take those children and to rear them in the admonition of the Lord and to take and as arrows, you're to shoot them to the point of evil. And you're to overcome the concept of what Satan can do within this society with your children. You can love your family. But don't let them be a hindrance or a stumbling block to the power of God. You know, God may not even ask you to put your children on an altar. God may not ask you to put anything on a sacrificial altar. But I can promise you this. Everything you have and everything you own ought to be on a sacrificial altar. It ought to be there in the concept of what God can use and God asks for if He simply wants it. I want you to see something else that's unfolding here. I want you to see that this concept of what Abraham was doing is going to be the same concept that God was going to do in the New Testament. Look in your verse of Scripture in Genesis 22, underline verses 3, 4, 9, and 14. Verses 3, 4, 9, and 14. Identify the word in each one of those verses of Scripture as place. They came to the place. They came to the place. The place. The place. Man, when you go over to the New Testament and you find Jesus Christ fixing to be nailed on a cross, Luke writes these words, and they came to the place and they crucified Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is trying to give us the insight. Just as Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son, God the Father was going to sacrifice his son for you and me at a later date in a similar place at a similar date. Look at the obedience of this man in verse 3. God told him to do this, and Abraham rose up early in the morning Can you imagine what it must have been like for this guy? Now, here's a man of faith. There's no doubt about that. Have you ever had problems and trials? You ever had tribulation? Sure you have. And even though you're a great person of faith, there's still humanistic tendencies within your life. You know, John the Baptist was the one that talked about Jesus. But yet, when he was in that prison about to be beheaded, there was humanistic tendencies. And he sent his disciples to ask Christ if he were the Messiah. So when the problems and the trials come, there's going to be difficulties within our lives. I can imagine that even though this man had a great deal of faith, that every time he cut a piece of wood, he realized that in the next moment, he was going to be plunging a knife in the very heart of his boy. This is a time of testing. This is a season of obedience. This is something that is not just happening by accident because God's telling him to do this. And you say, oh, wait a minute, preacher. God's not really going to tell him to do this. Abraham was not going to sacrifice his boy. He was going to stop short. He really wasn't going to do this kind of a thing, and you're wrong. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 17 says this, by way of faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had been received as the promised offering. And verse 19 is the key, knowing that God could raise his boy up again from the dead. Abraham was going to do what God asked him to do. Abraham was going to commit to the concept of actually putting a knife in his son's heart. And the parallel here is obvious. Just as God asked Abraham to do this, God the Father was going to put Jesus on a cross at a later date so Jesus could die for you and me. And he did that because he loves us. Man, it wasn't the nails that held Christ on that cross. It was his love for you and me and for the love of the Father. Amen. And the love that Abraham had for God basically brought this concept to be. You know the tragedy of this? Hear what I'm fixing to say to you. God asks sometimes very little of us. And we don't even commit to that. God asked for Abraham's boy. God asked for his children. And sometimes God's asking you to tithe. Other times God's asking you to commit to a church. There are times that God's asking you to give up a habit or a circumstance or a situation. There's many times that God's asking you to forgive. And yet sometimes, tragically enough, we don't even acquiesce to the will of the Father in the simple things of life. And here is a man by way of faith that's putting his entire son on an altar, ready to sacrifice him simply because God asked him to do it. You know, sometimes we as Baptists get to a stage of simply just talking about things. And we plan things. And we discuss things. Brother, when God simply says for us to do something, we need to be found faithful doing it. We need to be taking the step of faith at that point in time. We need to respond to the faithfulness and the commitment and the obedience of God. But many Baptists and many people cannot do this because they've not acquiesced their life on an altar. And they've not placed their entire life before God. Here's the scene. He begins to prepare the sacrifice. Isaac comes and he says, Father, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? That's an important question. That's the first time in all the Bible that that question has ever been asked. Where's the lamb? All down through the Old Testament, the priests were saying, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Where's the commitment of the atonement? Where's this lamb that we're going to slaughter? In the New Testament, the similar kind of a process was being asked. Where's the lamb? Where's this lamb? John the Baptist at the baptismal waters pointed to Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Aren't you glad tonight that Jesus has provided a substitute and we don't have to die and spend eternity in hell? Amen. I'm thankful that I don't have to put my boy on an altar and stab him with a knife. But friend, I want you to know something. My two sons and my wife are already on an altar. And whatever God wants to do with them or whatever God wants to do with me, it's perfectly all right. I've already buried two of my boys. And you know what? God's still faithful. God's still committed to his life to me. And I believe Romans 8:28, that all things work for good for those who love God and according to his purpose. I believe that with all my heart, and there's nothing that'll distract me in the face of tribulation or trial or circumstance, because by way of faith, I put my trust in Jesus Christ when I was 7 years old, and that faith has never waned. Now, there's been troubled moments in my life, just as they were in Abraham's. There's been difficulties in my life, just as they were in Abraham's. But by way of faith, I trust my God. And by way of faith, I know He's provided the sacrifice for me. Where's the lamb, Father? Do you know what Abraham responded? Don't worry, son. Jehovah Jireh will provide. You know what it means? God will provide the lamb. God will provide the sacrifice. And God is still Jehovah Jireh today. God still provides and meets the needs of His family. That's why Paul could go over in the New Testament and simply say this, Christ Jesus will meet your every need. That means financial. That means emotional. That means physical. That means medical. When the doctor comes in and says the news is not good, Jesus is there. When you get the telephone call, maybe late in the evening, and you hear it from an emergency room, God in Christ is there. When everything seems to be falling apart around you, I want you to know that Jesus is there. Because His promise is, I'll never leave my people, nor will I forsake them. Man, the sacrifice was ready. The knife was prepared. Abraham stands over his own boy, and I can imagine as he was looking down at the love that he had for that kid, knowing that that was his own boy, but yet the life was there. The sacrifice was prepared, and he was fixing to plunge that knife. And thank God the heavens opened. And the father said, that's it, Abraham. It's over. Now I know you love me more than anything in this world, even more than your own son. The test is finalized. You've completed it. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not want Abraham's boy. He wanted Abraham's heart. Knowing that when he had his heart, he not only had his son, he had his wife. And every existing part of his life. And that's exactly what God wants from you and me tonight. He wants our heart placed on a sacrificial altar. He wants us placed in the heat of service and the midst of sacrifice. Can you imagine what Abraham did? Man, he looked up and he said, oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And God said, hey, look. Go look over there in the bushes. You're going to find a ram. Can you imagine the excitement? I imagine he ran over there and he saw this lamb and he just picked it up. And I imagine that with tears streaming down his eyes, he grasped that lamb. You know why? He knew that that lamb was a substitute for his boy's life. And his boy was not going to die on Mount Moriah that day, but that lamb, the substitute. Yeah. Jesus is your substitutional lamb. Amen. He died for you. He gave his life for you. Folks, if we can't commit our life to Jesus Christ, something's radically wrong. Because He's asked for nothing less but deep commitment from each of us. You know, I've heard Baptists say a lot of times, well, I can go so far, but I want to go farther. Man, what if you say, honey, I'll commit 80% of my life to you. 10% is going to be devoted to golf. The other 10 is going to be devoted to other worldly things. And don't expect me to feel emotionally committed to you. Friend, you wouldn't be married too much longer. Or you'd have a knotted head by in the morning. That's ridiculous. To simply say that in the face of a God who gave us everything. Who poured out His life on that cross. If He can die for us, we can live for Him. And we don't have to acknowledge or excuse ourselves because of sin. We can kneel in His presence and say, God, help me to overcome. Nate Saint was one of our foreign missionaries who were killed by the Inca Indians. A young journeyman missionary was flying over the same area where Nate Saint was massacred along with several others. And as they were flying and rounding the bend, the journeyman missionary looked down and looked at his map and he so excitedly said, there's the place that Nate Saint gave his life for Jesus. Man, there's the place that Nate Saint died for the cause of Christ. And the missionary pilot who was flying the plane said, no. No, that's not the place that Nate Saint died. The journeyman missionary with excitement again said, yes, it is. Look, I've got it marked on my map. There's a spot here commemorating the place where Nate Saint died. The pilot said, no, that's not the place where Nate Saint died. You see, Nate Saint and I were in a revival meeting. And when the preacher gave the invitation concerning commitment, he and I walked down the aisle and we nailed it an altar rail. And I heard Nate Saint say, "Lord, use my life. I dedicate it to you tonight. It's no longer mine. Burn it out for the cause of Christ." He said, "There's the place that Nate Saint died." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to die here today. You're going to die to yourself and live for the power of Christ.
Amen.
Or you cannot be used effectively for the cause of Jesus. Commitment simply means dying to yourself, giving up, sacrificing those things that you want to hang on to, those things that pride has built within you, and those things that you are not willing to actually physically step forward in. It's all over this congregation. God's asking you. God's pleading with you. God is presenting Himself to you to be totally dedicated, to be committed on an altar of sacrifice for the cause of Christ. I don't